Fans, great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. The book that we want to talk about this morning, it's called Frank Seelye, S-E-L-E-E. He's a Hall of Fame manager of the old Boston Beaneaters and the Chicago Cubs of the late 1890s and early 1900s. A very, very important person in the evolution of Major League Baseball at that time. You're going to enjoy learning about Frank Seelye. He is a Hall of Famer. The book is written by Richard Bressler. He's a retired financial professional and has written two other books, and he lives in Champaign, Illinois. Richard, a pleasure to have you with us today. Early in the 1900s, Chicago baseball was coming around. The New York Giants were the team of the National League. And boy, did these two teams clash. But Frank Seelye laid the groundwork for the great Cubs teams. And he is a Hall of Fame manager, and it's great to have you on to talk about him.
Thank you very much, Marty. And I'll be willing to fill you in as much as I can.
Good. How is baseball different during his career? Because
we talk
about all this evolution of baseball. So go ahead.
Yes, he's a lot of evolution. He's one of the very few managers ever who didn't play professional baseball. He started in baseball at the age of like 30 or 25, working in semi-pro baseball in Massachusetts in the 1880s, then going to the minor leagues for 3 years. And during that time, first of all, baseball was evolving from underhand pitching to sidearm pitching to overhand pitching. That was happening during that time. By the time he got to the major leagues in 1890, it was all overhand. And of course, baseball at that time, the pitcher mound was 50 feet away. And it also wasn't the mound. So baseball was going through a lot of changes. There were a lot of experiments. We hear nowadays, of course, they're talking about, you know, we've had the changes with relief pitchers. We have to do three batters at a time. This is not the first time that's happened in baseball. 1880s, 1890s, there was a lot of experimentation. And he was one of the people who had to deal with that as a manager of first semi-pro, then a minor league teams, and then a major league team in 1890. And, of course, it was all – the major leagues were all north of the Ohio River, east of St. Louis. So, of course, it was concentrated in the northeastern part of the country, and that stayed that way through his entire career.
Well, what makes Frank Seelye interesting to me, and he's a Hall of Fame manager for the Cubs, is the way he managed. In other words, in those days, you had a philosophy. Well, we want to bunt. We want to steal bases. We want to do this and that. But he didn't call the plays from the bench. The players in the field actually called the plays. And Seelye was really known for being a great talent scout of signing players and putting those teams together. And frankly, the team he put together while he was manager of the Cubs turned out to be one of the great Cub teams of all time, with Frank Chance and Tinker to Evers to Chance and Mordecai Brown and all that. But that's the way baseball was played then, and that's the way the manager managed, and that's the way he managed.
Yes, that's correct. He, as I said, he never played the game, and many of the managers back then were player managers. Connie Mack was a player manager. John McGraw was a player manager early in his career. Frank Chance, as you talked about, was a player manager. Player managers kind of were more important. But all of these teams eventually named a captain. And it was sometimes it was named by the manager, sometimes it was elected by the player, sometimes it was done other ways. But usually the manager named them, and the captain ran the game. The manager would generally pick the starting pitcher. He would, you know, do that all along, and the manager would make out the lineup. But once the game started, they let him go. First of all, back then, they had no coaches. Seelye never had a coach. The first base and third base coaching boxes were only occupied if somebody was on base, and that was occupied by a player who wasn't in the batter's box. Usually it could often be someone who was in the game but just wasn't up that inning. So it was definitely run by the players. And he was involved in setting the style for his teams, but he really went along with whatever the style was during the time he was managing. When he started in 1890, it was a pitcher's league, and he had great pitchers. Then in 1893, as you probably know, the pitching distance increased from 50 feet to 60 feet, 6 inches, and hitting exploded, and he had a really good hitting team. Not only a good singles hitting team, but a good power hitting team. But at that time, he was instrumental in developing the hit and run. The hit and run didn't exist until the Boston Beaneaters, led by Seeley, who was very instrumental in developing the play, developed it. He had a couple of guys on the team who were really good at it, Tommy McCarthy and Hugh Duffy, who were Hall of Famers, and they that's the team that developed the play. And then later on in the 1890s and all through his time with the Cubs in the 1900s, pitching took over again. And so he had really good pitchers. He always had really good pitchers. His teams always had really good pitchers. And the one thing that I would like to say about this, and this is one sort of quote of his that everything I've read about him, and he's a kind of hard guy to find stuff about, but everything I've read about him, his style of playing, of manager, which was as a player's manager, he said, "If I make things pleasant for the players, they reciprocate. I want them to be temperate and live properly. I do not believe men who are engaged in such exercise should be kept in straitjackets all the time, but I expect them to be in condition to play. I do not want a man who cannot appreciate such treatment." You know, he let them alone unless they really screwed up. Now, obviously, during his time as a manager, he had people who really screwed up, but he basically said, "Here's the deal. You guys go play. I'll keep an eye on you, but you guys go play."
Interesting. Interesting. All right. That's Richard Bressler. The book is Frank Seeley, S-E-L-E-E, manager of the Boston Beaneaters in the National League and, of course, the Cubs in the early part of the 20th century. And he was not a brawler. He wasn't a John McGraw type, more of a gentleman. And he is a Hall of Famer and did lay the groundwork for those great Cubs teams that came later. How did it end for Frank Seeley? Why didn't he continue on as manager as those great Cub teams developed after 1905?
Well, this was basically a condition of the time. He was sick. He started noticing it at the end of his time with the Beaneaters, which was 1901, was his last year with the Beaneaters. Then he got hired to work with the Cubs, which were never called the Cubs during his time. They were called the Colts and the Orphans and other things. They became the Cubs just when he left. He had periods of when he wasn't all well. He was there in all the games in 1902. He was there in all the games in 1903. In 1904, he missed a fair number of games. In 1905, he made it through about two-thirds of the season, and during that two-thirds of the season, he didn't go on any road trips. And it was because he was sick. And they never came out. I read all the newspaper articles during all of these times, and they had all sorts of ideas. It could be pleurisy, he could have a cold, he could have appendicitis. They never came out and say it. He had tuberculosis. And he was physically unable to continue. And it was really sad for him because the guy who brought him to manage the Cubs was an old rival of his from the minor leagues who first recommended him to manage the Boston Beaneaters and then hired him at the Cubs. His name was James Hart. And Hart wanted to sell the team, and he offered to sell it to Seeley at the beginning of the 2005 season. And Seeley had already – they had talked about it before, and Seeley had arranged for a money man, somebody he knew in Pittsburgh, to back him. And Seeley got this message. They were actually, I think they were in San Francisco when this happened. They were on their spring tour going back from the spring training in Los Angeles, and they would do games in California and go back to Chicago. And Hart offered to sell him the team. And Seeley thought about it. He said he went for a walk, and by the time the walk was done, he couldn't breathe. And he just decided so he called the guy in Pittsburgh and said, "I'm sorry, I just can't do this." And so he went and told Hart this. He said, "I don't know if I can make the season." And Hart said, "Try it." And he tried, but he wasn't successful. And then during that season, part sold the team to a guy named Charles Murphy. There's two stories as to why Seeley quit. One is because of his health, which basically I do believe, because he missed half the games during the 1905 season when he was officially the manager. And Frank Chance became the manager because Frank Chance was the captain. And then when Murphy bought the team, everybody sort of thought that Murphy wanted to have a new manager. And Murphy named, right, as soon as the season was, as soon as Murphy's sale didn't close till the end of the year, but he and Hart agreed to name Chance the manager as soon as Seeley stepped down. And Seeley stepped down like at the beginning of August in 2005, and Seeley and Chance took over. And Seeley had built the team from being, in 1901, the Cubs had been like in seventh place. After 2 years, he got them to where they were. They won 90 games, more than 90 games in both 03 and 04. And then 05, they were even better. They ended up even better. They had a better record under Chance than they did under Seeley, but they ended up second to the Giants in both 04 and 05. They had been behind the Pirates. The way the thing worked in the National League, 1901 to 03, the Pirates won. 04 and 05, the Giants won. And then 06 to 10, the Cubs won four out of five, and the Pirates won the other one. And then after that, the Giants won for 3 years. So it was those three teams that were the good teams at the beginning of the 1900s.
Boy, Frank Seeley, Hall of Famer. There's only two Hall of Famers from New Hampshire. One is Carlton Fisk, and the other one is Frank Seeley. Well, the book is put out by McFarland Publishing. As you could tell, Richard Bressler knows his stuff. We could get it up in Montclair at the Book Tree or any of our usual outlets. So, Richard, I love having you on. It's Cub baseball at its finest, and he was one of the cornerstones, and you tell the story very well. So I appreciate you being on. Be well, and we'll catch up again.
Thank you very much, Marty. I appreciate it.
All right. That is Richard Bressler. More coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.